and welcome to this edition of Food Waste Matters, brought to you by the Fight Food Waste Hub and Honey and Fox. I'm Andrew Robertson, joining you for a series of conversations with industry leaders on the front lines in the fight against food waste. We'll be discussing business, innovation, and how these concepts combine to reduce food waste in Australia and indeed around the world. Be sure to check out our website, fightfoodwastehub.com.au. For more information about this series and for access to previous recordings, including transcripts, audio and video. Well, today we are fortunate to have two guests with us. We have Richard Torino and Jonathan Englert from the food box delivery startup Good and Fugly during the COVID-19 pandemic. But Good and Fugly stands apart with its impactful and sustainable business model, which we're going to explore today. Rich started the company with his decades of knowledge in the marketing and customer experience sector in Australia and the UK. He works at the nexus where social and environmental impact meets real commercial outcomes. Jonathan has nearly two decades of experience in sustainability, renewable energy and technology. He's worked at Campos Coffee, Smart Commercial Solar, NOC Energy, Zip Money and Go Get Car Share, where he met Rich. Jonathan is on a mission to bring purpose-driven business ideas to commercial success. Gentlemen, it is great to have you with us.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, hey, Andrew. Thanks.
Great. All right. Well, let's start by talking about Good and Fugly. What's the concept here behind the business and what inspired you both to start this journey?
So at Good and Fugly, we have a network of growers around the country who we buy the produce that from them that are rejected by supermarkets for aesthetic reasons. You know, with up to 25% of produce never leaves the farm because it's not pretty enough. And that's what we buy and then sell, as you said, put in fruit and veg boxes, seasonal boxes that we sell direct to consumers and deliver them to people's doors and offices as well. Now, the way the How Good and Fugly was born was during at the beginning of the pandemic in kind of Sydney's first lockdown. And it came about, me and my family were getting fruit and veg boxes, and around that time found out about that 30% of produce that's grown across the world is wasted. And that, as I said, 25% of produce never leaves the farm. And had the kind of idea, why wouldn't you just put imperfect produce? Had the idea, should be able to buy imperfect produce in seasonal boxes. Looked around to see if anyone was doing it here in Australia. No one was. And then I looked around the world and found that in the US and the UK and a bunch of other places, these kind of businesses were taking off, that there was a real demand from people. Spoke with Jonathan about the idea, and we both thought, let's give it a crack. I was at GoGet for 12 years, saw it start small and grow, and we put into place the things that we learned there. And one was just have a crack, see if there's demand for it. Started in a Kennard storage unit, just delivering to a few suburbs in Sydney, and it's just taken off. You know, we had these assumptions, and it's proven correct, that people really want to do good for the planet, and they're it's kind of hard, whereas being able to buy a box of delicious, nutritious produce that's fresher than what you can get usually and help the planet and farmers was a win-win for everyone. And, yeah, the feedback we've gotten so far has been great. So we're now in all of Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane as well.
Yeah, we just launched Brisbane. But I think it's worth adding, I think when you were looking to start, you were looking for the next, you know, for something that could actually have a big impact, potentially.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. So, yeah, look, I was at GoGet for 12 years, and for those that don't know, GoGet CarShare, it's a car share company, Australia's largest, and the whole mission there is to reduce car ownership, get cars off the road. So what I've learned in those 12 years at GoGet was to really have an impact, whatever the kind of alternative, sustainable alternative that you're trying to sell or promote, it really needs to be as convenient or as affordable as the alternative. Otherwise, you're going to have just a few people who take it up, but you're not going to have mass appeal. And that's something I really wanted to do in whatever it is we did next. And that's what we found with Good and Fugly is our boxes have to be good as anything you can get. and fresher and as affordable as the alternative, which is supermarkets.
Yeah, and I think that that notion of a sustainable enterprise is central to our approach. You know, it's great to have a strong ideal and a mission. We do have that, but we've seen, we saw this with CarShare, and we've seen this across lots of different kind of sustainable businesses where they don't get the commercial aspects of it right. They don't connect with the customers. They don't understand where basically the customers are and what they want, and they don't deliver on that. And so that's been an important focus for us, is not to lose sight of that, for this to make it work. I mean, just to go back to the car share quickly, you know, we saw how hard it was to move people out of cars into a car share system in which they would be, you know, helping to impact the environment positively. It takes a lot to move behavioral, move behavior. And we're seeing a similar thing here, you know, getting people to overturn a lot of a culture, you know, sort of acculturation around rejecting ugly fruits and vegetables. I mean, there's two sides to the equation here. There's the supermarkets, which to a large extent haven't been doing the right thing, but there's a behavior that's been baked in, and such that customers won't necessarily, they'll reject the ugly fruit as well. So there has to be a learning, a big education process.
Right. I'm definitely curious to explore the customer and consumer side of this. But first, let's talk about the supply side. You mentioned, 25% of farm produce never leaves the farm gate. And from this, the sort of principle of, I guess, food rescue is born. But why does food need to be rescued? Can you tell us a little bit about why so much produce is left on the farm?
Yeah. So for whatever reason, we've ended up in a place where tomato has to be perfectly round. If it's got another little tomato growing next to it, or if there's a scar on it, it gets rejected. Kind of what our mission is that we should be judging fruit and veg on the quality, on its nutritional value and how fresh it is, rather than how it looks. We've ended up in a situation where potato has to be a certain size, when we all know potatoes come in all different shapes and sizes. And it's really the supermarket's driving that. And so growers are trying to grow to particular kind of standards, but then, you know, for anyone that's grown veggies at home, you know that carrots don't come out perfectly straight. And so those just get rejected. When we first started the business and, you know, went down to the Sydney markets to talk to growers, there was a bit of inertia with growers because of a lot of them had been burnt before, where they've brought their, what they call their seconds, up your curly cucumber to the markets, and then just haven't been able to sell them to supermarkets or anyone else. And what we learned was to put any produce into a box costs money. You got to pay for wages. There's the fuel, the transport, transporting it to the markets, and the growers were just like, it's just not worth it. Mm. And that's one of the things we had to overcome to really tell growers, look, don't throw it in landfill. Don't just plow it back into the fields. Bring it to us and we'll sell it, because the stuff's perfectly fresh and delicious. So
yeah, I think one of the things, in a sense, you're glossing over it, but I think you should tell the story of those early days, because there's been a lot of learning. Our learning curve is probably going to be tracking, you know, what the customer's learning curve is ultimately, because it's a completely different world. And I mean, I think in the early days when you first went to the markets, you weren't even getting up early.
Yeah. So when we came up with a concept, it's like, right, got to go to the city markets, speak to some growers. And the first day I went, you're way too late. Like 6 o'clock is way too late. You need to be here at kind of 4 a.m. So then we're back the next day at 4 a.m. And got to meet a lot more growers. And yeah, there was a lot of them were, you know, when we were starting out, these guys are busy. They've got to take care of their bigger customers. But luckily we found a couple of brothers in kind of the local Sydney basin who, yeah, again, I think may have felt pity on me, and we started working with them. And like a lot of it was like, why do you want to buy the ugly stuff. Like, look at this stuff. It's perfect. It's beautiful. It's super fresh. It's cheap. And I think I called Jonathan in excitement the first time I got a call from Farmer Steve saying, hey, I got a neighbor who's got some, I think it was eggplants that he couldn't sell because, you know, they had noses on them or whatever. And so, we got them and kind of it sort of snowballed from there.
Yeah, I think the funny thing about that reaction was there's almost like a disbelief of these. It's like people who've been in prison a long time and then suddenly the door's flung open and they don't even they're suspicious of walking through that door, you know, because they can't believe they're let out of prison. Like, honestly, the reaction from farmers, it's I find myself, I've done this too, like what Rich said, just explaining to them, no, there's this thing we can do, you know, together, where we'll pay you a fair price for your produce, and you know it's good and fresh. And farmers, you know, consistently feel passionately once you get to talking about this. They feel passionately about how good this produce is that they're wasting, and they're unhappy about it. They're unhappy about it commercially because of all the resources that go into producing it, but they're unhappy about it emotionally, I think. Because they really feel an attachment that there's this value. And so, I mean, that was one of the reasons we launched the Farmer Rescue Hotline.
So that came about because 18 months ago so we'd had we built up a bit of awareness, and we got a call from a farmer down in Swan Hill in Victoria, who called us up. He found us online. He had three patches of nectarines, or I think peaches, sorry, that had been damaged by hail, and so couldn't sell them. And in his through his usual channels, and we ended up taking as much as we could, not as much as we wanted, because our customers got a lot of peaches for a few weeks. But what that did was a couple of things. One was, gave us the idea of creating this farmer hotline. So it's like 1300 Fugly. So farmers call us up when they end up with a harvest that with fuglies, you know, a large amount of fuglies.
And it can happen in a heartbeat. Like with him, it was hail damage.
Others are sometimes supermarkets will overorder in the future. And so then the demand hasn't been as high as they expected. So then they cancel their orders going forward. So Fugly's isn't just shapes and sizes and central scars. It's also oversupply. So we could only take, say, I think it was half of all the peaches that he had. And it's like, well, wouldn't it be good? Basically, from this came about a partnership with a company called Cornersmith. And they're all about teaching people how to reduce food waste in the home, but they also do a lot of pickling and making jams. And so through them, we were able to kind of make jams. So last year, when the oranges, there was an orange glut, and a lot of oranges were just being put into landfill, we were able to buy a bunch of oranges from farmers and turn it into marmalade with Cornersmith. Mm. And what that does is extends the life of those oranges for 2 years, because you can store them for 2 years. So, that's been a really important part of the future of our business.
Yeah. I mean, really, exactly. And what we're really looking at is all of these channels or all these levers that you can pull to reduce food waste. You know, we grow a lot in Australia. You know, we grow more than actually we'll ultimately eat. And so there are all of these opportunities to just look at, what's being grown on farms and figuring out ways to get it, you know, preserved for the long haul or getting people to eat more, right? Part of our mission in a sense, if we look at one of our partners, Nutrition Australia, is realizing the nutritional benefit of what's in our boxes. Each one of our boxes is literally like the nutritional recommendation of eat a rainbow, or, you know, the rainbow. It's in our boxes, you know, and that's a good thing. And kids aren't eating enough, you know, like it's, you know, what 5% of kids are getting required amount of fruit and veg. So it's how do we, we can fight waste at the same time as we're having all these positive benefits.
Right. Yeah. It's obviously a great deal for farmers. And it's good for reducing food waste. And we're starting to talk now about the consumers. So what's in this for your customers? What's the value proposition that you bring to them?
Yes, so it's about the freshness of the produce. So it's much fresher than kind of what you'll find at the supermarkets. A lot of our stuff has been, but the stuff that's getting delivered tomorrow is being harvested right now. So it's super fresh, obviously the nutritional value. And a big part of it is a lot of our customers have come to us. It's the first time they've ever bought a fruit and veg box. And they're drawn to it, to us, because of the mission, because they want to help reduce food waste. They see that it's, you know, huge amount of waste of emissions produced by all the produce that gets thrown out. And they're really drawn to us by that. And so then they join. And to be honest, the first box they get, from what we've heard, is a lot of them are like, oh, no, look at all this fruit and veg. Now what do I do with it?
And I'm just going to interrupt you for a second, because in the early days, I get a box. It's changed my life. And I was calling Rich and going, what is this? What is this? Like, I couldn't identify some of the fruit and veg, because we get some pretty interesting.
I'd say stuff like, Jonathan, it's pumpkin. All right.
Oh, not that bad, but we some exotic ones.
Yeah. Well, consumers like to be delighted and surprised. So I think that's what you're doing.
Yeah. And so what we do is we try and as well as put something in, like a bit of a hero fruit or veg, maybe something they haven't used before. One of our most popular is a Romanesco, which is...
That was what I called you about.
I think it was, yeah. Which was, it's a cross, not a cross, but it's almost like cauliflower.
It's like a cauliflower from space.
Yeah. It's really alien looking, but it's awesome. Delicious. And then we also put in recipes for it. So when you do get something like that, you go, right, here's a recipe on, you know, give it a try. But what we found was, so that, that first box, kind of people are a bit like, oh my God, what do I do with it all? But they're really motivated to not waste food. And so they, by the third box, people's habits have changed completely. So the whole family's eating a lot more fruit and veg. What we've been told by some customers is they're saving money. So not just on the fact that our produce is like between 20 and 30% cheaper than what you find in the supermarket, but also because they're cooking more, they're not going out as much, or they're taking their lunches, or, you know, so they're not buying, you know, lunch every day and stuff like that. So it's really changing their behavior.
And has there been any resistance from consumers who might have second thoughts about the idea of eating something that is waste?
Look, they just wouldn't select it.
No, they wouldn't.
I think they just wouldn't come to us.
And we haven't really spoken to anyone when we talk about it, because it's, you know, it's definitely waste is, you know, has all these different connotations. But when we're talking about kind of the on-farm food waste, this is stuff that's super fresh. And it's just that it looks weird. It's a little bit weirdly shaped. And people get it. And so, no, we haven't really had any resistance to that at all.
Where we do get something is it's in terms of, you know, our boxes are more affordable. So people come to us, particularly as inflation has gone up, you know, and gone, yep, this is great, more affordable. But then sometimes we'll get a bit of pushback where someone will say, oh, well, but, you know, this is not more affordable, for example, than, say, the Uglies at supermarkets. And one of the key things to recognize is that, A, we pay our farmers fairly, and, B, a lot of this stuff that is fugly in the supermarkets is also a victim of their ridiculously long supply chains, which, to Rich's point earlier about how fresh our stuff is, some of these things are like 2-3 weeks old. A big eye-opener for us was speaking to farmer groups and hearing about how the supply chain meant that, like, fruit and veg was, you know, taking 3 weeks to get, was sitting on loading docks, then getting to the shelves 3 weeks later. And in some cases in regional Australia, they literally send the fruit and veg out, and then they go to, then 3 weeks later, they see it wilted and sad in their local supermarket. And it comes back to them, you know?
And so, another thing was, so what we've been told is a lot of the supermarkets will, when they're talking with the growers about, okay, we're going to buy your whole a harvest over the next year, and we'll pay you for everything that meets standard, like our standards, and we'll take everything else that doesn't. So basically they don't pay for it. And then they can price it really low in kind of their imperfect sections.
Yeah.
But what was really interesting when we first started was we found there was a study done in France where how to increase the uptake of imperfect produce. And what they found was pricing is super important, because if you price something as 50, 60% off, what you're telling to the mass consumer is this stuff isn't as good as the other stuff. So that turns a lot of people off. Whereas if the pricing's closer, then, yeah, you don't turn people off. People don't think it's a quality issue. So that's something that we're really conscious of as well.
Yeah, it's a very interesting insight into consumer behavior, isn't it? And clearly, though, consumers are open to your product and there's plenty of supply. So what's the scope for expansion? You mentioned you guys have just started in Brisbane. Give us a bit of a taste of what the future holds.
Yeah, look, so we want to be able to, we want to sell Fugglies to the whole country. So, you know, over the next kind of 18 months, we'll be expanding into other, you know, we've got the East Coast, but there's a lot still to do. So, yeah, that's where we're going. And we're also working on building out the kind of other types of products we can, you know, we want to upcycle and kind of other Fugly product, produce into jams and sauces and everything else. So that's kind of
a greater range. Yep.
Yeah. And I think also this is both commercial and sort of social enterprise related for us, but it's raising this awareness, making the behavioral shift, becoming hopefully a voice for the growers and the farmers, because there's this, right now there's just a mismatch between sort of the growers, farmers, and the supermarkets, and that probably has to, for our food system to become healthier, that needs to be addressed and sort of, dealt with, because we've seen things on the technology front that blew us away, right? I'm not going to name the Apple producer, but we saw, you know, when you're talking about these specifications, nothing drove home to us these specifications like seeing this factory, a robot, like pretty much a robot processing facility run by AI that was selecting to an incredibly high spec apples. And it was really impressive. Like, on the one hand, you're like, this is incredible. On the other hand, you realize just what got rejected, and a fair bit of a lot got rejected off the back of this. And this was stuff that was already almost pre-screened. But it was a sight, like, it was an amazing experience.
It's interesting technology, I suppose, double-edged, isn't it? It can be used to reduce food waste, but perhaps in this case, it's actually contributing to the problem by better enabling that discrimination against the Fugglies in a processing environment.
It did do that. In all fairness to this particular processing facility, these people are very aware of it, and they're doing a lot to fight food waste. But what it just marked was the fact that there was an issue here.
Yeah, sure. Look, we're very interested in technology here at the Fight Food Waste Hub. Can you guys tell us anything about any interesting technologies that enable your business model, or perhaps any other exciting innovations in the whole reducing food waste space that you're excited about?
Yeah, look, for me, it's kind of the precision farming advances that are happening, I think, really exciting. But then the other element, and people that we've talked to who are working in this space, the tracking of the whole supply chain. So putting in trackers into, you know, from on the farm, and then just tracking the produce all the way to the consumer. Specifically, in this case, it was about the cold chain, kind of seeing that. You know, how temperatures go up and down along the supply chain, and kind of finding out where there's some issues, where, you know, maybe the particular facility, they're not that good at closing their fridge doors, for example, and then working, you know, being able to pinpoint it and fix, you know, things that are really easy to fix, that will end up having a really big impact on stuff that gets wasted.
Yeah, and quickly, just on that, the not to get into the technical details, but the cold chain means that if temperature levels fluctuate too much, spoilage happens faster. And that's a big part of food waste, right? Because we're not just talking about Fugglies, because we're also talking about things that could then maybe not be edible, and that is food waste also. I think that's one of the areas with technology. I mean, I think anything also from the product side that can be developed, you know, that can sort of make us be able to take these fuglies and turn them into really delicious and nutritious products. That's something we're always looking at as well.
So Jonathan and Rich, I have been meaning to ask you, which one of you is good and which one of you is fugly?
God. We're both. It's all about being good and fugly. Yes. You can be good and fugly. So
at the same time.
Absolutely.
And fugly's a value.
Yeah. But look, the name actually, it came about when we started the business. We wanted something that was kind of quintessentially Aussie, and that would also express the brand values, and we wanted something fun, we wanted something irreverent, and it fugly means what everyone thinks it means, except when my six-year-old son asked me, what does fugly mean? Thinking quickly on my feet, I said fun and ugly. So that's the PG version.
Which is also actually true of our brand, not to be cheesy, but it is fun and ugly. And recently, you know, in raising awareness, because it's supposed to grab your attention, it really does. It does grab people's attention. We launched the Australia's Hunt for the Fugliest Fruit and Veg in an attempt to see what fuglies were out there and just, you know, get a spotlight on them. And we were blown away by the amount of entries, usually at contests. And this one has quite a lot of marketing experience. And any marketer will tell you that contests are a fraught area. I was clueless about this.
Sorry, I was basically saying, what's a contingency plan when we get three entries?
You did. Three entries. And I was like, no, Rich, I'm sure we'll be fine. I mean, it'll be fun. I had no clue as to what we would actually have.
Yeah.
But we were amazed. We got almost 750 entries. Got national media attention off the back of it. And the ones coming in, it was also heartening just to see the kinds of entries that we got. It was great. And the eventual winner was, because it just closed out, was a mom who had set up a school garden, a primary school garden, to teach kids about the value of like getting closer to the earth, growing your own fruits and vegetables. And yeah, it was really great.
We didn't know who it was until after we called her to tell her she'd won. So
yeah, we did not.
Amazing.
We did not set that up.
No.
It sounds like a really good campaign, and the name definitely sticks in your mind. What advice would you guys have for other entrepreneurs who are interested in getting involved and making an impact in reducing food waste like yourselves?
I guess the kind of number one piece of advice is, you don't have to be perfect to start. Just start and you'll get better and better. When we first started, all we did was put fuglies in our boxes. Customers would have gotten a box full of oversized cauliflower. So what we did was, you know, we supplemented it with stuff that wasn't fugly to give people that really like a convenient a box that would get them through the week. And as we've grown, as we've built our network with growers, more and more of our box is fugly. And as we've grown, we've added other kind of sustainable things to our business, with our packaging. There's no plastic in any of our boxes, things like that. But to start with, if you spend too much time on being perfect, you're never going to get off the ground. So really, I think just push forward and get better as you go.
Yeah. And I think I would add to that. I agree with that. But it's also, you want to have a core.
Yeah, of course.
What I can look back on the history and see that we haven't actually deviated from that core. We've made lots of changes along the way, and always, I think, communicating and letting your customers know, and not just your customers, but everybody, partners. We've got a lot of great partners and various other, I don't like the word stakeholders, but that's what it is, and keeping, you know, that the communication open and being transparent, that's really important. But I do feel like there's a core, but you just keep going, you know, and you're aiming for that mission, but being sure that you also keep the lights on commercially.
Yeah.
Really important.
And I guess the other, just feedback from customers, especially as you're starting out, they help you build the products or build the product that you're providing. And then the third is, person's an island. So you've got great partners and building networks and fighting food waste, or just even a business that's got a real purpose in doing good. People want to help you. And so they give you opportunities to kind of expand or amplify your message. And I think that's really important when you're starting out as well.
Mm.
Well, that's all really good advice and great insights all throughout our discussion today. Richard, Jonathan, I want to thank you guys very much for your time and all the best with the company. We really appreciate your contribution today.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Andrew.
And thanks to our subscribers for joining us for this edition of Food Waste Matters, brought to you by the Fight Food Waste Hub and Honey and Fox. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Rich and Jonathan from Good and Fugly. And if you'd like to support the company by signing up for deliveries of fresh and fugly produce, visit the website www.goodandfugly.com.au. The guys have even been generous enough to offer a 20% discount on your first delivery box for Food Waste Matters subscribers. You can access this exclusive offer by entering the promotion code FOODWASTEMATTERS2020, all in one word, when you sign up at the Good and Fugly website. That's FOODWASTEMATTERS2020. The Fight Food Waste Hub is for everyone who is interested in reducing food waste. Invite your colleagues to sign up for our mailing list and get notified when new content is published. So visit our website, fightfoodwastehub.com.au. And if you'd like to get in touch with us here at the Hub, send me an email to hello@fightfoodwastehub.com.au. We'd love to hear from you with feedback, comments, or questions. Until next time, keep up the fight.